Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Rugby league. It's in our blood. The greatest game of all. And it's here. On digital radio and on the Triple M app. Another week, more drama. Welcome for Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks the footy.
And a very good afternoon right across the Triple M network. We love our Sunday NRL, and here we are today as we get closer and closer to finals times. Quick look at the results. Broncos 18, Cowboys 14. Warriors over Manly 24-16. Panthers over Sharks 26-20. Dragons 40, Titans 28. It was a defence-a-thon, that one. Parramatta 20, Knights 18. And then we had the Dogs 18, Tigers 16. Another one that the poor old Tigers lost on the back of some pretty ordinary goal-kicking. But we'll talk about that in the course of the afternoon. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. Let's start with the boys from Fox League. He's just flown in from Brisbane. Me old mate Gordon Tallis, welcome to you.
Yeah, it's good to be here, Anthony. And I didn't die last week like you wished me to, so... Yeah, it's great to be here in the studio with you.
I feel bad. I want to apologise for that. That was really overstepping the mark. And from NRL 360, Paul Kent.
Yeah, Anthony, not the first time you've overstepped the mark, but let's see if you can do it today.
Well, I'd say it's a shortened day for me today. And the great man, the triceps, James Hooper, also from Fox League. Welcome to you, old mate.
Anthony, the Redfern Rocket, a shortened day for the Rocket today.
Yeah, mate, I'm off to the Central Coast today. I'm going to watch the Bunnies play Melbourne. I'm thinking, like, if you guys can have
Surely that's not all.
No, that's all. That's the whole thing.
No, that's not all.
That's the whole thing.
Anthony, you don't get out of work to go and watch the Bunnies play.
Yeah, because they're on TV, live.
Yeah, but you guys get out of work.
Because we're sick or we got a job to go to.
Sick,
or we need to go to Greece.
Sick in the head, yeah. No, look, I just thought, I just said to Buzzard, who our boss, Brad McNamara, said, look, mate, I need to have some time off. And he said, mate, take as much time off as you need.
Yeah,
take
as much better, actually.
And then he said, mate, look, I don't think those blokes can survive, cope without me. And he said, I agree with that. So he just said, take an hour off. We'll get the Triple M chopper to land on the roof here and get you up to the Central Coast as quick as we can. And we'll go and watch those Bunnies who don't have a great record against Melbourne, but I've just got a good feeling about today.
Yeah, look, I smell a rat, though, because you've walked in wearing a suit.
Mm.
So you're going to wear a suit to the footy.
Mm. Well, I'm going to a corporate.
A
corporate box. I don't want to sit on the... It's too cold to sit on the hill today, isn't
Money
it?
Money maroon.
Hey? No, well, you can wear a jumper. Like, you can just wear, like, a sloppy Joe or something like that.
Yeah, you could have worn any of that South memorabilia. You've been freeloaded. So
yeah.
Any of that. But instead, you chose to wear a suit, Anthony. Like,
if you've got to be honest. MC gig, does it?
Yeah.
No, I do. And I say this unashamedly. Mm-hmm. I say this unashamedly.
Because you've got no shame.
Yeah. I don't go. If I go to the footy, it's corporate hospitality for me.
Yeah.
I like the corporate hospitality.
Yeah.
I'm in my 50s.
Yeah.
I deserve
not always,
it.
Though. Once upon a time, you're a man of the people. You like to be out on the hill. And
I did used
the
to
action,
get on, yeah.
You?
Back in the old days at Redfern, I used to get on the hill up there at Redfern on the Southern Hill.
Mate, the fact is, you're going up hill. There, get paid in cash. You don't
no
want to
cash,
be out there.
No
you
money.
Don't, look, seriously, you don't turn up to a football game at a corporate wearing a suit. Let's be honest.
You're right when you say, I love making money. That's another thing I'm not ashamed of. But everything I do for the Rabbitohs, Paul, is done with love. I do it with love. There's no money changes hands whatsoever. And so if you need some Rabbitohs hospitality, you know where to find us. And get ready because it's going to be a good final series. And plenty of things to talk about in footy today, guys. Some interesting results. That won the Tigers. Oh, gee, they should have won that game. Mitchell Moses from Parramatta, their semi-final bound. We'll do that as well. We're going to speak to Dallin Watini-Zalesniak, who's found a new home. With the Doggies, and that's gone so well for him. Of course, the Dragons are out of contention yesterday, but the great James Graham clocked up 400 games with his mum and dad present at Jubilee yesterday, which was wonderful. So it's been a big week of rugby league. We've got a few weeks left before finals time. Let's Let's talk about all that sort of stuff and more as Triple M rocks. Sunday, Triple M NRL, as we get closer and closer to finals football. We've got a massive game for you this afternoon on the Triple M network, which Dan will call for you. It's Melbourne and the Bunnies live at Central Coast. And thanks to Tyre Power, buy three, get one free on selected Kumo passenger and SUV tyres. That game yesterday saw the Eels defeat the Knights by 20 points to 14, and that secures the Eels a spot in the finals. Been a good year for the Eels. Funny one, though, hoops for the Knights. It started poorly. It went really good there for 6 or 7 weeks, and now it's just sort of tapering off again.
Yeah, I liked Andrew Johns' line about the Newcastle Knights. They're like a sail in a blender. And unfortunately, you know, it's a very accurate portrayal. They've fallen off a cliff over the course of the last 6 weeks, six straight losses. They showed so much potential. We were talking them up as possibly a top four side and being able to threaten for the competition. But for whatever reason, the wheels have come off pretty badly. And I don't know, Kenty, where do you reckon it's gone wrong?
Well, look, I think they're a team that plays on the emotion of the leaders, Mitchell Pearce and David Clemmer. And when they went through an emotional high just before Origin period and just really kicked, and we saw Mitchell Pearce, I think it was six games in a row, man of the match.
Mm.
He was just playing out of his skin. But once, clearly that's not possible to maintain that for an entire season, that surge of form. But once he came off the boil a little bit, so did the team. So I think that's where they're at. They're a team that, yeah, it puts a lot of emphasis on those two players particularly. And when they're not there, as they haven't been, because they've come through that period, they've come off that, they came out of Origin a little bit flat because there's so much emotional investment in the Origin that they haven't been able to get up again. And their teammates around them haven't been able to compensate and say, okay, well, you blokes are a little bit down on energy, so we'll pick it up for you.
But don't they need to be able to get up, Kenty? Like the best side, so you look at the moment, the Storm are on top of the competition, and then you've got the Roosters, Raiders, Bunnies. All of those teams had players representing throughout State of Origin, and they were all key members of New South Wales and Queensland, but they've still managed to find a way to win through the Origin period.
Yeah, because of the standards. It's simply because of the standards of the other guys. You know, you look at Ponga, I think he only had like 8 runs yesterday, where it's probably not enough. But he's probably coming back tired, and he's still learning how to become a first-grade footballer. He's still very young. He's so talented. Mitchell Pearce, well, he's dropped off a bit. But when you come back and that emotional high and all that, you need the young guys to lead with enthusiasm and sort of drag you along. You drag them along, then they drag you along, and that's how the season goes. But some of those guys are still learning how to win, and then they don't want to go and, you know, grab the game, you know, by the throat. And that's what Newcastle do. Like they... And I've played in those games where I first went to Brisbane and I was waiting for Alf to do something. I was waiting for Steve Renouf. But you can't get caught waiting for everything to happen. You've got to go out there and make it happen. And I think Newcastle are in those crossroads. Some of those players that are playing with them are just waiting for Mitchell Pearce, are waiting for Kalyn Ponga, are waiting for Dave Clemmer, where you can't afford to wait.
And because emotionally they couldn't get to where they were because they were going through that little purple patch of form, suddenly the club couldn't get up.
Well, Clemmer's got a target on his head, and he always has because he's a big guy and he's their forward leader. So, but when they're getting into your leader, well, you need your blokes behind you. You know, they come in and help you, and, you know, he's there. He's standing up to everybody. Manu Maru throws, mate, was that a punch? Did he throw a punch last night? It looked like one.
If it had connected, it would have been.
Mate, but I love that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm sitting on the couch and they're playing with passion. I'd rather that than the hugging and the... well done, and the high fives after a loss.
Did you think, though, Gordy, that the sort of loose elbow from Dave Clemmer was a little bit symptomatic of where Newcastle are at the moment? It's frustration.
Well, you get frustration.
It's building. And...
you get frustrated when what you take to the game is, you know, your energy, your power, you know, your offload or whatever you've got, and all that doesn't work, and they keep on counterpunching you and beating you at it. The last thing you come to is, oh, well, how am I going to beat this guy? And then it comes to foul play. That's why... The eye gouge is so stupid. It's the lowest act. But it's when you don't have enough ability in yourself to beat the guy in front of you, where you go to the lowest act, which is raising an elbow, punching, or doing what you do.
Boys, what about Para? Now, this is their next couple of games. They've got the Gold Coast Titans.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it sure is. Then they got the Bulldogs. Then they got the Broncos. And then they got Manly. So it's not a terribly hard road home. They should expect, I would think, to win 3 of those 4 games.
Well, they'd expect to win all of them.
Anthony, knowing how good you are with a calculator, I would suggest that the Eels, they could be a genuine chance of pushing into the top four, depending on other results. But you're right, it is a favourable draw. And you got to give the Eels credit where it's due. You know, at the beginning of the season, they're coming off a wooden spoon. They've got a host of players off contract. The club held their nerve. They were under a lot of pressure to go out and re-sign their captain, Clint Gutherson. That was a bit of a standoff that dragged on too long for a couple of months. But they got that deal done. They got the Mitchell Moses deal done. They re-signed Brad Arthur. They brought in, one of the finds of the year in Mike Acevo on the wing, and what a story that was yesterday, that the club, the Eels, flew his old man out from Fiji and he was there in the crowd to watch his young bloke score a try. It's a terrific story what the Eels have been able to achieve this season.
If they make, well, not if, they will now make the finals, how genuine are they? How genuine are they against your Melbournes, your Souths, your Roosters?
I don't think they are. I think they're nuisance value. I think they've got the potential to knock one of those teams off on a good week. But Parramatta's problem all year has been that you look at their record, it's nearly all season win one, lose one, win one, lose one. To try and come in bottom eight, or bottom four in the eight, and then have to win three in a row against the very best, I think that's beyond them. Certainly on what we've seen at the moment, it's beyond them. Every team has got the potential to hit a purple patch of form come finals. But at the moment, you wouldn't be putting your house on Parramatta going through the finals, winning two in a row, let alone three.
And it's good that they've won a couple of tight games, but they can only win in one style. That's just they come out, they bash you up in the forwards, and Gutho and Mitchell Moses play with a lot of energy and have a great running game, where I think they showed against Manly, when that doesn't happen, they can fall apart really quickly. I don't think that they've got a plan B, or if they do have a plan B, it's certainly not nowhere as effective as plan A, but mate, their plan A is really good, and I think that can work. And if they get a side on the hop, and that is what Paul alluded to, if they get a side on hop, they can go out there and beat them. But if that's not working, they go, oh, what do we do next?
So that top six now, boys, looks to be pretty much set in stone. If we look at the Storm on 34, Roosters, Raiders, Rabbitohs all on 28. Now all those four play today, which is going to be terribly interesting. Manly then on 26 with Power on 26, but then we've got that break back to 4-2. The Panthers, a gutsy win for them over Cronulla, puts them on 22. Broncos on 21. That eighth position's not safe, with the Sharks on 20, the Tigers on 20, and the Warriors on 19.
Well, it's a real battle there, isn't it? And I think it's good that, remember this time last year, the top eight was essentially decided by this time, so it was a little bit of a dull end of the season, which is why the NRL over the summer came up with that really ridiculous idea of a top 10, where they were going to make 7 and 8 in a wildcard playoff against 9 and 10, which was...
I think they'd borrowed Maroon and My Funny Cigarettes when they came up with that idea.
Yeah, well, look, the thing about it's all shaping up this way, it's all... it shows the folly of that idea. And the fact is, look, let's be honest, Team 7 and 8, whoever make the finals this year, probably don't deserve to be there. Already we've got the Broncos in 8th spot, who've got a losing record. They're going to qualify...
They're minus 52.
I'm 4 and against them, minus 52, but they're 9 wins and 11 losses, 10 losses and a draw. Like, they're a team that they've lost more games than they've won this season, yet they're going to get the chance to play out for the title. I think it's a really...
Them making it, though, Kenny, the Broncos? Do you see them getting there?
I don't know, to be honest. Yeah. Who knows? They're so inconsistent, all those teams in that area, that it's very difficult to actually say. Look, the one team I thought you could bank on was Cronulla. I thought they're tough, gritty, and they are pretty consistent when they get going. And then what happens Friday night? We go out and they just got lapped by the Panthers. Yeah.
But the Broncos here, though, Gordy, they're on 21 points. They're in the eight by 1 point at the moment. Now, considering they came into this game with a win over the Titans and a win over the Dogs, and by geez, they got a fair rub of the green against the Cowboys the other night, did they not?
Yeah, I think so. They got all the 50-50s. Look, it's tough. And if Brisbane are playing now, just to talk about them, they got an unbelievable engine at the moment. And on Thursday night, we see it, saw it in full flight. You got Payne Hash, you got Lodge, Tevita Pangai, they go forward, even Young Fifita as well. They're unbelievable, but they're playing with no steering wheel. They got no direction. It's like a speedboat out of control.
Yeah.
Like, mate, they make so much meters, but they just can't turn any corners. Like, they don't Darius Boyd, and I don't want to bag him because there's, you know, like a lot of articles about him written, but one run for 1 metre.
Is that what he did Thursday night?
One run for 1 metre.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got Turpin, I think, would be the best number nine. And when Brisbane did look their best, well, he's playing seven, and he played brilliant, but he's playing out of position. So they've got three hookers. So McCulloch's there. He took up an option. They just, I think, re-signed Seguiaro, and now they signed Turpin. So there's three number nines. You don't need three number nines at a club. They need a good number seven. And if you put all your eggs in Dearden, well, he's still learning his craft. Like, he's going to learn, what, it's 50 to 80 first-grade games before you become a pro, you know?
Gordon, do you think there's merit in moving McCulloch to halfback?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's solid. You've got to do whatever's best for the team, and I think Brisbane are a better side when Turpin and Seguiaro
get out of dummy half.
Because their strength at the moment's their forwards, and I think McCulloch's service is just a little bit slow there.
Yeah.
But if you get him and you play through the middle, and then McCulloch puts his hand up and then goes wide to a Milford or whatever, I think that is the best option.
Well, he's got great game sense, McCulloch. And, and you're right, he's slowing down out of dummy half. There's no real zip out of dummy half. There's nothing that, there's no threat there at the moment. They just dish off, and the team are really lining up the ball runners, and the opposition are lining up the ball runners, and off they go. And they're a side, I think, who they need a little bit of zip out of there. Seibold is very clear that he's one of those coaches that likes to get points to points on the field and then attack from there. But the Broncos are so rudderless, as you alluded to, that they can't get to those points.
They can't get to the points. But what they got is great forwards that make their own meters. They don't need anything. They just bully most packs that they're playing against. They come up against a Cowboys pack, you know, that would have been going, and they got beaten up with Temalala and Maguire and all that. Well, they got a bit frustrated. So I would just be putting a big key in all their backs, and you go wherever you want to go. And when you've knocked them all over and challenge them to see how many blokes that they knock out of their way, play the ball as quick as you can and play off quick, play the ball.
Yeah, and then, see, that makes sense. And then out of the back of that, off the back of that, you've got McCulloch, who's got good game management, who sits there and can work with Darius, and they can sit there and set up whatever they need to do to then try and hit a play with Milford coming through or whatever. I know, and look, it's probably a tough time for Anthony Seibold to try and experiment with that, with the finals race still on, with only 4 weeks to go now, four games to go for them. But I tell you what, it might be the difference in the Broncos, because at the moment, the Broncos, again, their nuisance value in the finals, they're a chance of really just powering through the middle one day and really upsetting somebody. But can they do it 3 weeks in a row? No chance.
He's got to be smart enough. He's getting paid big bucks to be smart enough to work out, how does my team play the best? What chance do we have of winning this game? And then when they stop you in the middle, well, that's when you find other options, but they're not stopping them in the middle. So I'd be playing just 8 or 10 forwards, mate. If you want the ball, mate, you're coming through the middle and just work sides over until they stop you. And then when they stop you, they got to jam up their defence, and then there's more space for those guys out wide.
Okay, just on that, boys, the Broncos' next couple, well, Panthers into the Rabbitohs into the Eels. So it's a hard road home.
It's a tough draw. It's not only the Broncos either. It was a critical loss for Manly Friday night, Maroon, where they now face the West Tigers at Lotto Land, but then they've got the Raiders, then they've got the Melbourne Storm, and then they've got the Eels to finish with. So, you know, they were powering along and looking like they might have been able to sneak into the top four, but their destiny's not so much in their own
hands.
There's
some great games coming up, isn't it?
Oh, outstanding. Absolutely. Yeah, it's like September's come a month early.
And this afternoon alone, we've got some two just fantastic.
Super Sunday, Maroon. Super Sunday. Tune into Fox Sports.
Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, or Triple M, if you don't mind. They're paying the bills right now. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James the Human Tricep, Hooper, Maroon. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about that West Tigers game yesterday, which they should have won. They should have won, but they didn't. The doggies get another scalp. We'll come back and talk about that as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M footy. Let's go! For Ream Hot Water.
Welcome back. It's Sunday, Triple M NRL, and it's Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. Big things happening too across the week here at Triple M. I'll tell you more about a little promotion the boys are doing next Saturday at Castle Hill RSL, where they're broadcasting live, the Saturday Triple M show, broadcasting live at Castle Hill RSL. So that should be a little bit of fun if you're in that part of the world. Footy and CCs, well, you just can't say no. But look, Parramatta just travelling along so nicely now at the new Bankwest Stadium. They're loving life. And one of the stars of the show, of course, is the great Mitch Moses. We've got him on the line. Welcome to Sunday Triple M, Mitch.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Congratulations, mate. And look, congratulations to you. I know there's still a lot of work to be done, but hey, you're in the finals.
Yeah, we're not going to look too far ahead at the moment. We're just going to keep winning games and hopefully try to push up there for a top four finish. So we're just going to keep winning games and everything else will sort itself out.
Mitch, have you addressed the consistency issue with the Eels? You slowly look like you're getting around that. It's been a tricky one for you all season, though.
Yeah, we just haven't been happy with our away form. I think playing away from Bankwest or away from our home ground, and just we've had a bit of difficulty just getting up for games. And it was good that we come away with a tough win against the Dragons last week away from home, and then turned in another performance like we did last night. So we've spoken about it, we've addressed it, and hopefully that's not a problem anymore.
Yeah, what did you learn from the Manly loss, mate?
Yeah, I thought we started the first few sets were all right, and then we just didn't come with the right attitude, I think. They played outstanding, take nothing away from Manly, they were outstanding that day, but we just took a lot out of it and decided that we need to come with intent. If we come with intent week in, week out, that we can match it with all the sides in the comp. And I thought we've done that the last 2 weeks, and it's been really good.
How do you feel your combination with young Dylan Brown's developing?
Yeah, it's really good at the moment. He's it's scary to think that he's only 19 and the things he does on the field. And he helps me out as much as I help him out. He's really grown as a player. I think he's only played about 10 games and had that real bad stress fracture in his back earlier on in the year and missed out the chunk of the season. And we really missed him, I thought. During the middle of the year, and it's good to have him back, and I'm really loving playing footy with him at the moment.
Does he ever do anything at training, Mitch? Like, is he one of those kids you see at training when they start to do a few things, you just sit back and you wonder to yourself how they're able to do that, or is he more just which we're seeing on the field, that composed kid who just seems to be older than his years?
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. He looks like nothing fazes him. He'll just go out there, you tell him what to do, and he'll go do it. It's just, and then some of the way he moves on the field, I think he put a move on Normie the other week when he got in the clear. He had Reedy and Guffo on his inside. He did not even look once. And it just shows how confident he is. He had someone on his inside. He just didn't even bother. He knew he was going to get to the try line no matter what.
Oh,
makes an error. If he makes an error, he goes straight past it and, he's a real classy kid.
So just take us through the run into the finals. Yourself and Parramatta are you guys look to be set. It looked like you're going to make the finals. You and just behind you, you've got a real dogfight. Three or four teams all fighting for that seventh and eighth spot. Is there much talk among the team about just who's doing what and who you might be wary of and how the form is of the other sides?
Not so much. I think why we've been pretty good the last month or so is because we've just focused on ourselves. We haven't worried about anyone else. We've just worried about ourselves. And if we win games, that everything else will sort itself out. I think that's the best way to go about it. I think if we start looking at the ladder too much and looking at who we verse next the week after that or the coming in the next 4 weeks, that it can affect you.
Yeah.
So we're just taking it week by week. I know everyone says it like that, but it's actually how we are. You know, we're a real simple side. Brad's been outstanding with us with giving every single player a job to do, and everyone's doing that at the moment. So we just got to keep doing it.
Hey Mitch, I was looking through my social media and I saw you kick a goal at training. So he was in the in goal. He pretty much kicked it from the dead ball line. And he's kicked it around and it's curled in, so it's gone in the field of play and like curled through the post.
And obviously
there was a strong breeze. How many attempts did it take you, mate?
Mate, you wouldn't believe it. It was the first go.
Oh, come on.
Good answer.
I promise you, I've had that many people come up to me and go, oh, it took you like 20 goes. Honestly, that was my first one and only one. Oh, and man. I just walked off the field after that.
Yeah. Spot on. Don't do it again.
I think it actually ruined me because I was kicking rubbish last night. So I've probably got to steer away from doing those things at training. So,
Brad, what about, you know, you got in your
His name's Mitch.
I beg your pardon. Sorry, I was going to talk about Brad. That's why I said that. You got so many unsung heroes in your team. And the why I said Brad, I was going to say Brad Takarangi, who's a bloke who plays a number of positions, played probably 100 games for you blokes. Now, is he? He's not signed for next year, is that right?
No, I don't think so, yeah. I'm not sure if he is,
But a good player, isn't he? I mean, he's not. He doesn't get the accolades of some of your players, but, you know, he's a good, reliable player.
Yeah, he's a classy player. You can throw him in the front row, he'll probably do a job. You know, you play him in a six jersey. You chuck him at hooker, I reckon he'll do something there. And he's just that type of player that you love having him in your team because he can cover any position if he gets an injury. He's been thrown on the wing. He's been thrown on the wing for the last 3 weeks, and he's been probably one of our best players for the last maybe 6 weeks. He's probably been one of our best players. So he got dropped earlier on in the year just to go back and focus on some things. And his reaction and his attitude towards getting dropped to reserve grade, he went going back and played a game there. And, you know, if it was any other player, they'd probably kick stones around and carry on a bit. But, you know, Brad's told him what he needed to do. He went back there, didn't fuss about it or anything like that. Went back, did his job, and now he's back in the team. He's probably playing the best footy he's played in a long time. And it's a credit to him. His attitude's been really good around training. And, he's been outstanding for us.
Hey, Mitch, speaking of the wing, what a great story. Your other winger is Mike Acevo. His old man came out from Fiji and was in the crowd out at Bankwest last night. What's he like and what's he brought to the side this season?
Yeah, everyone doesn't realise that. He only made his debut in round one. And to see the growth from him from round one to now is just unbelievable. Like, he's just growing week by week and he's getting better week by week, and it's scary to think, you know, what he could be like next year, even with another preseason under his belt. You know, it was great to see his old man surprise him at training yesterday. He didn't know that he was coming. I don't think he's seen him in like a year and a half or something like that. And I think someone sorted it all out and got him to come over, and they surprised him at training. And just to see the emotion and what it meant to him to have him at the game was enormous. And he scored that try right in front of his old man, so he would have been loving it. And he's just a really good bloke.
Well, just on big Fijian wingers, there's been talk that Semi Radradra wants to come back to the NRL next season. Obviously, Parramatta would like to have him back. Have you got much information on that from the Eels?
Oh, I couldn't tell you anything about that, but I loved playing with him when he was here. He could score a try from all over the field, and you know, he's a classy player, and I think I'd love to have him back if he could fit him somewhere in our team.
Yeah, but obviously it's a salary cap issue because you've got
a problem. Yeah,
yeah, but I tell you what, like you lose Sammy and you found this guy, and off you go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, Mike is doing an outstanding job for us at the moment, and he's only going to grow and get better and better. So it's exciting the future we got here at Parramatta, and we just saw Wonga. We had just had Wonga Blake. He's played the last three games with us, and I'm loving having him outside me. I just feel that comfortable, and he's a real classy player, and it's a really good get from Parramatta.
Talking about being comfortable, you must be comfortable having Manu Mau in your forward pack as well. So just tell him that I really like him. He's my favourite player. But I got scared watching him last night on the couch.
Yeah. Nah, mate, he's outstanding. He really looks after me on the field. And I was actually been crying out to Brad for the last 2 years to get him next to me, and I finally got him next to me this year, and I'm loving it at the moment. He really protects me, and I feel very comfortable.
Hey, just before we let you go, Mitch, what's the latest with Blake Ferguson? Will we see him back soon? Or
I think you'll see him back soon. He's back at training. He's training with us, so you know, we even get him back in the next couple of weeks or so, whenever he feels fit and ready to come back. So he's just going to be an even bigger plus for us when he comes back.
Yeah, good on you, Mitch. Good on you, mate. You've got a hard couple of games coming up. We wish you guys all the best, and no doubt we'll talk to you again before finals time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, boys.
Good on you. There he is, Mitch Moses, joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. Say his nickname's Brad, as far as I know. Gordy, Paul Kent, Triceps Hooper, and Maroon.
Mate, is your head a little bit off today, Anthony? Is your head elsewhere?
Why, mate? Well, because
because you're off up the Central Coast. Yeah, I feel like you've already got one eye on the M1.
I made one mistake 5 minutes ago, and you're going to highlight that now.
You said earlier, I'm a bit scattered aces today. I'm a bit overworked. I'm tired.
I am. I'm a little bit. I've had a lot on, mate. I've had a lot on. Plus, I've had the grandkids staying.
Oh, that's never easy.
There we go. You know.
Yeah, what? Mm. So you had to nurse one of them and put them
in? No, well, it's just that, you know, you get a little bit. I know you don't, Gordon, because you're perfect. And when you don't feel well, you have a day off. I don't have that luxury. I can't just have time off. I'm a small businessman, and if I take a day off, it costs me money. But what we'll do is, boys, we'll take a short break. We'll have this discussion off air.
You're an ordinary bloke.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk about the doggies and we'll talk about the Tigers. Cashies. That's all coming up. As Sunday Triple M rocks the footy. Sunday Triple M NRL live across the Triple M network, and it's Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maru. Another important game last night, which the Tigers lost. Doggies got them 18-16. An injury to Robbie Farrell, which the boys will talk about in the course of this discussion. But Hoops, it's been a funny year. Now, that's a couple of times where the Tigers have probably lost a game where the goal kick wasn't that hard and should have been kicked. There was that earlier one in the year with Asan Masters. I can't recall a year where we've seen more bad attempts at goal A, bad fifth tackle option kicking as well.
We used to see a lot of it. What we did, we just went through a golden period. Well, maybe that's right. The thing about goal kicking, and Momorowski last night, this is it, like the pressure got to him last night. You could see he really tried to push the ball through the goalpost. I remember Phil Gould years ago was talking to about goal kicking, and he described it as like setting up for a golf shot. That the fact the ball is actually still on the tee, and therefore you just should be going through the same process every time. It should be the same kick every time, that whatever that comes off straight. And Momorowski last night, you could see that he was trying to push it through rather than just go through the motion, the normal kick that he would normally do. He just tried to push it through, therefore he shanked it, and it was an awful kick. It was he could have thrown it over from where he was kicking from.
It was a cruel twist for Paul Momorowski because he'd scored a great try early in the game. Then he scored a try, his second for the night, that basically got the Tigers right back into the contest. Then Benji sends Luke Garner over in the closing stages, and he's got that kick. And you're right, Kenny, you could see his body language wasn't great. He looked like he was about to face a firing squad. The colour, you know, really appeared as though it was draining out of him. And unfortunately, he shanked it. And, you know, football can be a cruel game sometimes because that's the West Tigers season essentially there up in smoke.
I remember talking, you asked Gers to tell you about it later. Gers told me a great story about when he was goal kicking at Penrith. And they got in Graham Arnold to help him.
He had the yips at the time, didn't he?
Yeah, he might have. And anyway, but Gerds has sort of set up the ball, had a few shots at goal, and he's sort of shooting them left and right. And Arnie was a bit sort of surprised by it. He's like, Gerds, why can't you just kick it between the posts? And obviously, because he's a great soccer player and was a striker, kicking was his trade. And Gerds rightfully explained, as most NRL players, well, it's not as easy as it seems. You know, sometimes you don't hit it right and off they go. And he said, no. He said, mate, the ball is on the mound. It doesn't move. It's there. You should be able to kick the same kick every time. He said, when I play striker for soccer, he said, the ball's coming at me 70, 100 kilometres an hour. He's got to control it with his foot, and then he's got one touch, and he's got to shoot it off again. And it's a matter of inches when he's having a crack at goal. And Gerds was like, he sort of didn't appreciate whether Arnold actually understood how tough it was. So Arnie put the ball down on the ground and said, right upright, went boom, hit the right upright, put another ball down, left upright, boom, hit the left upright, crossbar, third ball, boom, hit the crossbar. And at that point, a light went on for Gerds. And he just concentrated less on trying to, the goalpost at the end of the kick, and just the actual action that he had to go through, like a golfer practicing his swing. He just concentrated on the action, turned his goal kicking around. And that's the message that gets out to players these days. And that's just unfortunate for this poor kid on last night. He just didn't have that in his head. Yeah. And you could see the pressure really building on him. As soon as the try was scored, he's walking back to set up, and you thought, he doesn't feel good about this.
No, and he sort of rushed and he tried to wait.
Yeah.
He just wasn't confident what he was doing. But I hope he doesn't carry that with him because he had a pretty good game. I think he had 80 runs.
He's had a great game. Going so well, well, isn't he?
The other golf analogy is don't carry your divots.
Oh, yeah, I like that one.
Mm. Yeah.
But you don't play for cash.
It's interesting you say.
Mate, off air, you were telling us your favourite fighter ever was Cassius Clay.
Yeah,
mate. Yeah.
Favourite musician. It's interesting.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you play golf?
Favourite cartoon, Cashbar.
Well, I know I don't play golf, but it's not a golf show. It's not a golf show, Hoops. It's a rugby league show.
He's a skins man.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Tigers had a chance. They had 98% of the football in the last 10 minutes.
10 minutes,
and they were attacking, and I think they completed it nearly all. So, yeah, at about 90%, you know, and made the Dogs just to hang in there. I think it was 6-odd dropouts, so they were just I think Dean Pay's done a really good job. Mm. What have they won 4 out of their last 6 since they've come out of the Origin series and out of their last bye? And but I think the Dogs, because they're talking about him not being there. I think Dean Pay, for what he's had at that club, and now he's getting some players in, like Zalesniak and that. I think they're going pretty good, the Dogs.
You make a great point, Gordy. I know statistics generally only tell half the story, but the numbers out of last night, when you look at the raw numbers, it was all slanted towards West Tigers. And considering they'd won their last 2 games, they needed to win this match to really, essentially they would have been sitting in 8th position, and they keep their finals hopes alive. Now it's sudden death. They've got to win their last 4 games to be able to be a chance of making the 8. And unfortunately for the Tigers, dating all the way back to the last time they played finals in 2011, this has been a recurring story. When they need to win big end of season games, they can't find a way to get the job done.
Well, how do they fix it?
Well, I think Michael Maguire's a good start. Like there's been some games this season that they've won that I don't think previously they would have been able to get the job done. He's obviously trying to shake the roster up a fair bit, and when you consider the amount of money that they've got sitting on the sidelines, when you consider that last night they lost Moses Hembo in the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game with a quad strain, they had 4 forwards on the bench. Robbie Farah got injured and was forced off. And so there goes one of their key playmakers as well. They were brave, but how do they fix it?
What about the vision last night of poor old Michael Maguire?
when Momorowski missed the goal.
When he missed the goal.
Well, that tells
you could
story
just see he sat there stone faced. For anybody who didn't see, he sat there and he was expressionless. Mm. He just sat there looking straight ahead. There was no movement. There was not a grimace. There was nothing. But anyone that knows Maguire knows that inside he would have been churning. And you could just see he was just trying to keep it all together. I felt for him. I thought, you poor bugger. Like, this is about to send it into extra time. The season's on the line. Like, the Tigers win last night. They go into 7th spot. They push the Panthers down to 8th and the Broncos out of the top 8. That's how crucial it is. Instead, they're now sitting in 10th spot. So it was a crucial, crucial game. And just to...
Just on that picture of Madge, how could you be a head coach?
I know. Yeah. I know.
Why would you want to be a professional NRL coach?
He looked 5 years older in 5 minutes.
Well, you made a funny, an interesting point there, though, Hoops. Before, you said that their
season... Was it funny or was it interesting?
No, it wasn't funny. Okay. It's not often he says something funny.
No, because
he
said funny.
But he said that, the season is up in smoke. The Tigers season is up in smoke. I think that's a big call, Hoops.
Well, they've got to play the Seagulls at Lotto Land on Thursday night.
Yep.
So there's a big game. They need now to win all 4 matches to be a chance of playing in the finals. So they could have had their destiny in their own hands. Now they've got to rely on other results. As soon as you start to talk about mathematically, as good as you are with a calculator, Maroon, and certainly as good as you are with cashies, once you start to talk mathematically, well, that's where... teams can start to run into.
I noticed this Cashy thing's made a reappearance this week. Was there a meeting through the week that I wasn't involved in?
Oh, what? So we're not allowed to talk
about.
They've
got Manly coming up. They've got the Knights.
I think the Tigers are still a chance because you've currently got the Penrith sitting in the finals. But Penrith they don't have an easy ride home. Like, they've got Brisbane this weekend. Then after that, they go to North Queensland. They're not guaranteed to win either of those games. Mm. Then they play the Roosters. They won't win that one. And then they've got Newcastle at Panthers have got Newcastle at home in the last round, which Newcastle probably knocked off by then. So they'll probably get that one. But there's every chance that the Panthers only win one more game before the season's over. Mm. Like, there's no guarantees anywhere. I don't think anyone's playing well enough to guarantee them. That for as well as you look at what's happened, it's almost like we're beginning of the season where we have the, remember the old bounce back factor?
Yeah.
So we almost have seen that this weekend. The teams like the Warriors who played so poorly last week, bounced back this week. Manly, so good last week, poor this week. You know, it really creates a little bit of doubt about this afternoon's games and what might happen there too. Melbourne was so good last week. Will they be up again this week, or were they up too much last week? You've got Brisbane who knows what's going on with Brisbane.
All right. And we've got the touch football. Newcastle 2, West Tigers 0. That score, thanks for Tyre Power.
And the Broncos girls actually beat the Titans.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, it was a really good game.
Everyone beats the Titans these days.
Well, it was 2-0. The Titans were leading 2-0 and got run down 3-2. And it was a pretty high-quality game.
People are just taking from the Titans, Paul. Just taking. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, Hoops and Maroon.
I can't wait till we flog Seth.
We're going to take a... Oh, please. Mate. Come on.
Don't make one of those stupid bets that you don't stick to.
Actually, we haven't mentioned that grand final national anthem for a couple of weeks now, Gordon. We had an amnesty on it last week because you're away.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back.
He won't do it. He's a lightweight.
Yeah, mate, I will do it.
You started the GoFundMe page.
I would sing the national anthem at the grand final. When you can make that happen, give us a holler. There's no question I can sing. I've been to the doctor. The doctor said the voice is fine. Mm. The timbre in your voice is beautiful. The larynx is all lovely.
Oh, God, I love the way you love yourself.
Oh, dear. Hoops, Kenty, Gordy Tallis, Maroon. We're going to take a break and come back with I Call BS as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's. Triple M footy.
Yeah, it's a big weekend of rugby league and some massive games this afternoon. We'll have score updates for you at 2 o'clock. The Roosters take on Canberra. And then, of course, 4 o'clock, our match of the day, Melbourne and the Rabbitohs. And what an awful record our Bunnies have got against Melbourne. I think the last 30 times they've played the Rabbitohs.
They've lost 5 25.
Times. Yeah,
so they've lost 25.
So that means they're due for a win today. But Paul Kent, Hoops.
Oh, you reckon they're due for a win?
I think they're due for a win up there. Yeah, we got it.
It'll be a great game.
It's a good hunting ground up there.
Up where?
Up on the Central Coast.
Right.
South and Melbourne. Mm. But right now, boys, I think it is time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call Bullshit.
Yeah, I Call BS. I call it. You can just whatever topic you want to go with here, boys. You don't need to talk rugby league here. You can get away from rugby league, and if you want to call BS on anything at all whatsoever, people not letting you into the traffic, which is a real problem in Sydney. People not letting in. People walking down the main street and they're on their phone. They're not looking where they're going.
What about the people that speed up so you can't take the gap in traffic?
Why do they do that? What's the advantage of it?
Huh? Oh, it's a funny one. Anyway, you'd be one of those blokes, I know.
No, I'm not like you that. Are. I'm a very good driver. Yeah. Very cool. Would you like to kick us off today, Triceps?
Anthony, I want to call BS on the match review committee. There's been a lot of outrage this week about Sammy Burgess and the fact that he was able to get that charge downgraded from a grade 2 to a grade 1. But the reason he was able to get it done is because his legal team successfully used 3 examples of grade 1 charges from last season that were equally as bad, if not worse, than what Sammy did to Matty Moylan. So... it's not the fault of the judiciary, I don't believe. It's the match review committee
Just
who
not
are
being
also
consistent in their charges.
Yeah, and not charging the hard grades. Enough, Gordy. Not grading things hard enough. So there are examples last year. Jack Kajewski nearly decapitated someone. Jared Weaver-Hargreaves was involved in a separate incident. And they only got grade ones.
Yeah, so the sad thing is they've lost the plot in there and they don't realise they have.
Oh, I think they're beginning to.
Well,
to
it's embarrassing.
We got up on about Trevojevic's tackle. You know how you get.
Yeah. There's another example. Admitted he should have been.
So then they cracked down, and we're up on cracking down.
The crackdown became before him. But you know what? So this is the problem. So that Jake Trevojevic's tackle, which we all agree was underrated, right? Undervalued as far as only a grade one. But because he pleaded guilty to it, it now goes in as a comparable, that's what they call them, comparable, as a grade one tackle. So the next bloke that nearly puts someone through the ground, He goes in and he says, well, it's not as bad as this other grade one here. Yeah. Look at Jake Trbojevic's tackle and the Wood Ducks on the judiciary. They've got no choice. They've got to go, yeah, okay. The whole thing needs a reset. Yes, they've totally lost their way.
You've got to wait until the end of the year, because that's the rules that we've been playing with this year.
Since when? They did a reset four weeks ago.
Yeah, but we just wait. We get through this year and then they send out to every club.
Oh, please.
Sam Burgess's tackle is a grade two, you know, and that, and then that's what they need to do. And the Trbojevic's tackle... Do everything. These are the gradings. That's what you get.
Gordon, out of last night's football, Chris Smith, the Bulldogs lock, was sin-binned in the closing stages of the game. He's now been charged. The Match Review Committee charges have just come
out. For what?
He's been charged. Oh, great run. Yeah.
That was a late tackle.
What?
That was the late tackle. Well,
did you watch it?
Yeah, but it wasn't a late tackle. But he was charged for the crackdown on hitting player.
Yeah.
Yeah, just ridiculous.
Mm.
The sin bin was ridiculous. But that's part of it. Yeah, the other one, my BS is the fact that Michael Gordon walks off after getting sin bin, so the NRL hit him with a $2,000 fine for being taking the mick and walking off slowly, and yet. Here we go, a week later, Sam Burgess takes, Matt Moylan's head and puts it somewhere into space, and he gets a $1,900 fine. It's $100 cheaper. And I'll tell you something else, which I find really fascinating, right? Sam Burgess goes into the judiciary, fights it for a downgrade from a grade two penalty, which would have given him 2 weeks suspension, to a grade one, which gave him the $1,900 fine. He wins that case. Then he doesn't play today and probably out next week because he's got a hamstring strain. Well, why wouldn't you have just taken a 2 week penalty?
Yeah. So I don't think he had the strain when he went into the judiciary. Yes. I think he picked it up in training.
Oh, that's fair call.
He got it jumping in the air when he got
in the aftermath.
He went up in a big Toyota leap when they said not guilty. Did the hemi.
The lesson he's here is to always have a good legal team on your side.
What's your legal team? Right. Get it out.
No, I don't have a legal. I'm not saying it for that. I'm just saying, I remember when I was a young bloke, when I was a teenager, I had to go to court for something and I had no money.
Was that when your cousin threw you through the jukebox?
No, that was another time altogether.
I don't know whether to tell the story or not. Through the
all
week.
Right, well, don't think about it. Just tell it. It's not like you normally do, so just tell it.
Just interrupt someone. I got to call BS on my wife. So we've got the 6-month-old, right?
Yeah,
so we've got the 6-month-old.
Yep.
And I heard him crying. It might have been about 5 o'clock in the morning. You get up because you don't know what time, whether it's 3 or whatever. So you get up. And I'm sort of waiting, and you wait there, and you just don't want to move. Because if you move, then they know that you've heard him and you're awake.
You flinch first.
Oh, yeah, so you flinch first, so then she's getting up. So I didn't sort of feel her moving. I'm thinking, oh, God, I better get up. So I got up, and as I've walked out of my bedroom, when I got to just saw the doorway, and there's a bit of a hallway, I didn't realise that my wife had gone out to make herself a cup of tea.
Right.
So she's come around the corner. I've walked out, and I've scared her. Which she spilt a whole cup of tea, boiling hot cup of tea, all over me, and I sleep in a nude. So how do you think that went down? So I call bullshit on when you got a screaming baby, you go get him first.
Yeah, right.
You don't go make yourself a cup of tea so you can sit there and enjoy a cup of tea while you're nursing it.
I'm interested to know how the burns are. What part of the body was burnt?
We don't want to know. Yeah. Let's just move
I'll
on.
I'll show you later. But it stung. It was actually... Mm. And then I realised when I Googled how do you fix a burn, and it's actually quite common, people on planes spilling, the plane goes, a bit of turbulence, and a lot of hot burns down in that area.
People have made a lifestyle out of suing McDonald's for that very reason.
Yeah. It's like that Seinfeld episode where Kramer gets burnt with the cafe latte, and then he puts the balm on, and then it fixes it. Yeah, but mate, in the old days, back in the 70s, when I was a child, they used to say put butter on a burn. I recommend that you don't put butter on a burn, though.
Why?
Well, because it doesn't work. Apparently, it just fries. It'll fry the burn.
It keeps the heat in there.
Yeah,
it keeps
the heat in there.
Yeah.
Paul, would you like to call BS on anything?
I've already done it, Anthony. Not listening to your own show.
Yeah. What about you? I thought I missed somebody. Oh, you jumped
what
on
about
the
you, yeah, Anthony? Yeah. What about you? You've always got a good BS.
No.
You got something up your sleeve?
No, I've got nothing up my sleeve.
What about this for a BS? I've met a couple of Saints fans in the past weeks, and they're all death riding the Dragons because they want Mary Sack.
Yeah.
How do you go being a fan? And it's not unique to the Dragons, but they are pretty strong at it. They death ride the coach and hope he loses and the team loses more games, so that way the coach will get sacked.
Yeah, I know.
Mm. Yeah, I find it fascinating that people always want the coach sacked. There's not enough good coaches going around the game, as evidenced by what's happened at Gordon's club.
But that's a good point, Paul. But it's often in your workplace. Here over the years, I've had a boss or two, and I thought, geez, I wish they'd sack this palooka, and then it'd be a nice place to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you need a couple of bad sort of results. Mm. Get rid of him. Get someone else in.
You know that they're in the room.
Yeah, but I mean, it's, you know, I'm not going to name names.
Yeah.
I think they know who I'm talking about anyway. but anyway, there's certainly
he,
a lot
he's
of your
name down.
No, he no, he's the best boss we've ever had. Old Buzzard. Old Brad.
Old Brad
McNamara.
Geez, you're
look,
good face
I tell you what,
face.
Why don't we leave that right there? And we'll come back and we'll talk about some more football things because I've got to, unfortunately, take off early
actually,
today.
I'm going to call BS on you leaving early.
Oh, how are you, mate? Mm. Why? Because you go to Greece, you go to Turkey, you have the day off so you can go to the races. Hoops has the day off so he can run the water at his kid's football game.
Give him back. But that. See, they're yes, all for free. Huh? But see, when, see, my days off were organised a year in advance and you're not allowed to get sick. I suppose, or do you want me to come here and sneeze and cough all over you, Anthony? And then your day off is not really a day off. Yours is to go to a bit of extra work.
Look,
see?
Mate, don't worry about me, mate. I'm from the old school. I come to work whether I'm sick, well. I don't have sickies, mate, right? Huh? I haven't had a sickie.
So what are you doing today?
I'm leaving early because I'm going with Miss Portugal to watch the football.
You can watch it on TV.
I don't want to watch it on TV. I want to need an hour away from you. My life is not worrying about picking you up from the airport. And
I picked
sure...
you up today.
Well, that's right.
I brought you here.
No, it's a special day today. Mm. Hoops, Kenty, Gordy, Maroon, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to speak to Dallin Watini-Zalesniak somewhere
you now?
In the course of the afternoon. As Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.